Good morning, everyone. It's great to be able to introduce a new series of Sunday morning studies in which we will be considering the basics, the foundations, if you like, of our Christian beliefs. We will be considering five topics between now and Christmas, and then a further six at the start of the new year. Today, we will be devoting our thoughts to a consideration of the Bible. Don't be alarmed. We're not going to study the 66 books that it contains. Time would most definitely not allow. Rather, we're going to consider the significance of the Bible to us. Why is it such an important, the most important book that we can read? So to start, here's a question for you. The first Bible to be printed is thought to be the one printed by Johann Gutenberg in Mainz, Germany, in 1455. Since then, how many Bibles have been printed? Got the answer? Here's a clue. It's a big, big number. Hold the number. As the Guinness Book of World Records notes, a survey by the Bible Society concluded that around 2.5 billion copies of the Bible were printed between 1815 and 1975. But more recently, estimates put the number at more than 5 billion. 5 billion copies of the Bible printed. Just to put that in context, the next nearest number of books sold is around 500 million. Don Quixote, written by Miguel de Cervantes Saavedra, I hope my pronunciation is right, and published in 1605. And also at 500 million, the Communist Manifesto, written by Marx and Engels and published in 1848. The Bible has sold 10 times more copies than the next best seller, as it were. As Christians, it's remarkable for us to consider that the Bible, God's Word, has been printed so many times. Do we see Almighty God at work here? I don't believe that it's by chance that the Bible has been and continues to be so widely available. I'm sure that most, if not all of us, have more than one copy of the Bible in our homes. Maybe there's one on your bedside table. Maybe there's one in your lounge or living room. Maybe there's one on the shelves where you spend time reading and studying. But the question is this: how significant is the Bible to us, and why should we make it an important and vital factor in our lives? I'm going to read just a few verses from John chapter 1. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, we sometimes refer to the Bible as the Word of God. And actually, this phrase is used in several different ways in the Bible. First, the Word of God is a person, Jesus Christ. Sometimes the Bible refers to the Son of God as the Word of God. We've just been reading that in John chapter 1. In Revelation 19 and verse 13, John sees the risen Lord Jesus in heaven and says, "He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God." Similarly, as we read in the beginning of John's Gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Bible, in a number of places, references the Lord Jesus as the Word of God. Secondly, we see the Word of God as speech spoken by God. Notice what we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God also spoke personally to Adam, which we read about in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and at the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. We read, "I am the Lord your God." Third, God spoke through the prophets. In Deuteronomy 18, God says to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account." God made a similar statement to Jeremiah. In chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, we read, "You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." Jeremiah was under a clear instruction. He was to speak the words of God. And in Jeremiah 1, verse 9, we read this, "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth." God's words, spoken through human lips, were considered to be just as authoritative and just as true as God's words of personal address. And then we have God's words in written form. In the Bible, there are a number of instances where God's words were put in writing. The Ten Commandments, for example, written with the finger of God. Look at Exodus 31, verse 18. God also commanded that his words were written down. For example, in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8. "Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness." And to Jeremiah, God said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, write in a book all the words I have spoken to you." In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul picks up a similar thread. "If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command." Now, clearly, there are many benefits associated with the written word as opposed to the spoken word. The written word often provides a more accurate perspective of what someone has been saying. And certainly that holds true for future generations. There's the opportunity for us to inspect the written word. The written word is accessible to many more people Any time, any person, any place, someone can pick up and read the written word. The Bible is the written word of God, and it's available for you and I. It provides us with an authoritative record of God's words, and it reaches into and touches every part of our lives, or at least it should. Let's consider just for a moment the authority of the Bible. It's vital that we fully appreciate that all the words in the Bible are God's words. Therefore, to disbelieve or disobey them is to disbelieve or disobey God Himself. Now, I'm sure that none of us would want to admit to saying that we disobeyed or disbelieved God. Yet when we measure our lives, perhaps, against what Scripture says, we can see that there is a fuzziness around the margins of God's claim on our lives and how we actually lead them and live them. But the Bible presents, as we'll see in the closing part of our service this morning, the importance of holding true to the Word of God, of accepting that it is God speaking to you and to me, of accepting that God wants me and you to read His words and put them into practice in our day-to-day lives. Not in part, not just the bits that we like and feel comfortable with, but the bits that we struggle with and find really hard. That's when we truly, honestly accept the authority of God's word, the Bible, in our lives. Now, as we've already seen, sections of the Old Testament are introduced with the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." This phrase is understood to be like the command of a king, indicating that what followed was to be obeyed without challenge or question. There's a challenge for you and for me this morning. Even the words of the Old Testament, not attributed as direct quotes, are seen by Paul as God's words. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul writes, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And we're going to return to that verse again. Look at what Paul also wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18. He wrote, "For the Scripture says, 'Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages.'" Now, what's important here is the context. The reference to the ox comes from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. And the reference to the laborer's wages comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 7. It's actually the Lord speaking. Paul, without any hesitation, quotes from both the Old and the New Testament, referencing both as Scripture. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, Peter writes, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him." He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorance and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Peter and the early church considered Paul's writings to be in the same category as the Old Testament writings. As we look at the Bible in overview, we can see that many different people were involved in writing it. Sometimes they recorded the words God spoke. Sometimes the words God told them to say. Sometimes they wrote what they had found through interviews and research, and sometimes they were led by the Holy Spirit to remember and write what they had learned and experienced. But in every case, the words they wrote were the exact words God wanted them to write. If God claims that the words of Scripture are his own, then there is ultimately no higher authority one can appeal to for proof. For what higher authority could there be than God himself? So the question for all of us this morning is this: do we accept that the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, is the authoritative word of God that should impact on and change our lives? I trust that we do. Notice what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17. He says this: sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The Lord Jesus clearly setting out for us that God's word is truth, and it shapes and informs our lives, and we can trust it absolutely. But as we read Scripture and seek to understand it, we know that some passages are easier to understand than others. Like me, I'm sure that you find some parts of the Bible much easier to read and understand than others. But we must recognize that the Bible is written in such a way that all things necessary to become a Christian, live a Christian, and grow as a Christian are there and are clear. It's not only true that all things necessary to become a Christian, live as a Christian, and grow as a Christian are clearly presented in the Bible. It's also true that without the Bible, we would not know these things. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't know what we need. The necessity of Scripture means that it is necessary to read the Bible or to have someone tell us what is in the Bible if we're going to know God personally, have our sins forgiven, and know with certainty what God wants us to do. Look at what Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3, he writes, and how from infancy, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We've got Paul writing that the Word of God is essential for our salvation. And we've got the Lord Jesus saying, and that being recorded by Matthew, we need the Word of God to feed us day by day spiritually so that our lives can reflect the honor and glory to God that they should. Being alive in Old Testament times would have meant that we did not have the benefit of God's complete revelation found in the New Testament. But for you and I today, the Bible contains all the words of God that a person needs to become a Christian, live as a Christian, and grow as a Christian. And in order to be blameless before God, we have to obey his word. We have to read it, we have to appreciate it and understand it, and we have to obey it. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. In the Bible, God has given us instructions that we may be, as Paul wrote to Timothy, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We don't need to add words, instructions, or rules to what Scripture says, and we certainly mustn't remove anything from Scripture. But we have in our Bibles everything that we need for our salvation, everything that we need to live out our Christian lives, and everything we need to cope with the challenges and the ups and downs and the joys of life. The question is this: do we gain all the benefits that we should? And if we don't, what do we need to do in order to gain them? The Holy Spirit is the key here. It's been written that the Holy Spirit changes the readers of Scripture. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us is assure us that the words that we read are the words of God. The Holy Spirit provides us with a greater level of appreciation and understanding of the words of God. He makes them meaningful to us in the situations and circumstances of our lives. I'm not a great believer in a moment of crisis of picking up a Bible and opening it and finding the verse on the page. You can have some pretty horrendous experiences there, as so-and-so went out and hung himself, and so on and so forth. But if we are reading God's word, in times of great joy and equally in times of great adversity, we've read it, we've understood it, we've appreciated it, the Holy Spirit will bring those words back to our minds. A right word at the right time. But not if we're not reading. Not if we're not spending time in God's word. The claims of Scripture only become our personal conviction through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our minds. In 1 Samuel 3, Samuel, who was a young lad in the temple, heard a voice calling to him. And the first times that he heard the voice, he went to Eli and he said, I'm here, what do you want? And Eli said, I didn't say anything. And after a little while and several repeats of this experience, Eli understood what was happening. And he said to Samuel, when you hear that voice again, say this, speak, for your servant is listening. As we read our Bibles today, and in the days that lie ahead this week and this month, and who knows how long before the Lord comes again, let's read them praying those words. Lord, speak, for your servant, I am listening. And may your Holy Spirit reveal to me, to you, more and more and more of God's love and grace and purpose as we read his amazing word, the Bible. Let's close. Father, we come before you with hearts that are so full of praise and worship, for you have given us your word in a form that we can so easily access and read. Lord, we worship you and we praise you for this. But Lord, may we pick up our Bibles and read them. May we come before you and say, speak, Lord, for I am listening. And may your Holy Spirit take the words that we read and thrill us as he applies them to our hearts and lives and the circumstances that we're in. Lord, may we be Bible-believing believers and Bible-reading Christians. And may your word shape and enhance and improve our lives. May we know that joy ever more deeply that comes from knowing you personally. Lord, reveal yourselves to us through your word, we pray. Amen.